There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Crime and Crime Again is a true crime podcast containing subject matter that may be graphic or disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Chalfont, California is a small community nestled along the Sierra Nevada mountain range and surrounded by a desert landscape. It was there that Carly Gousset grew up, and also where she disappeared. After a Friday night spent hanging out with friends at a party and indulging in smoking cannabis, as many teenagers do, Carly found herself in a state of panic and intense paranoia, likely brought on by the substance. She made it home safely that night and had her stepmother at her side to comfort her until she came back to her right state of mind. But in the early morning hours of October 13th, 2018, just hours after the party that sent her into an alarming state of disorientation, Carly left her small, isolated neighborhood with nothing except the clothes on her back, and she was never seen again. This is the case of Carly Lane Gousset. Carly Lane Gousset was born on May 13, 2002 to parents Zachary and Lindsay. When Carly was about 2 years old, her parents got divorced, and within a couple of years, Zachary remarried to a woman named Melissa. During her early childhood, Carly primarily lived with her biological mother, Lindsay. When Carly was about 6 years old, Zachary and Melissa welcomed a baby boy, and then around a year later, they had another baby boy. Soon after her second younger brother was born, Carly started living with her dad, Zachary, and stepmom, Melissa, full-time in Bishop, California, a town of about 4,000 people located about 60 miles from the Nevada border. Within a few years, Carly's mother, Lindsay, moved to Nevada, and Carly chose to stay in Bishop, California with her father and stepmother, as she didn't want to be uprooted and leave behind all of her friends and everything she knew. In August 2018, when Carly was 16 years old, her father and stepmother bought a house in Chalfont, California, only about a 20-minute drive from Bishop, so Carly was still able to attend the same school and didn't have to endure much of a lifestyle change. The neighborhood the family moved to was relatively small and sits nestled beside the Sierra Nevada mountain range that separates California and Nevada. The neighborhood is quite isolated and surrounded by desert, only a couple of minutes east of Highway 6. In October 2018, Carly was a junior at Bishop Union High School, and her family and friends have described her as a quieter, more introverted person. But once she opened up and came out of her shell, she was fun and bubbly, and she had a good heart and an almost nurturing personality. There was a period of time that year where Carly had started becoming a bit careless about school, and her grades began to slip. At one point, she was even suspended for either going to school high or smoking cannabis at school. The details aren't completely clear. But Carly's parents have said that she had a quick turnaround after they spoke to her about the issues and after she started attending mandatory counseling at school for the behavioral transgressions. Overall, Carly has been described as a good kid. She was loving and open-hearted, and by all accounts, very close with her family. On the night of Friday, October 12th, 2018, Carly told her parents that she was going to a high school football game with friends. But as it turned out, Carly never had any intentions of going to the football game. Instead, she went with her boyfriend, 17-year-old Donald, to a party at a friend's house. A little white lie that we all remember telling as teenagers. It could more accurately be described as just a gathering of a few friends, not really a rowdy high school party. At the party, the friends say they all smoked cannabis and Carly soon began acting strangely. It wasn't her first time smoking, but according to some who knew her, it also wasn't the first time she'd had some sort of adverse reaction to cannabis. Around 8 p.m. that night, Carly's stepmother, Melissa, received a call from Carly asking to be picked up. Melissa soon arrived in the neighborhood, somewhere in the town of Bishop, and at this point, night had fallen and the neighborhood was not well lit. She ended up spotting Carly running frantically down a dark road in the neighborhood, using her phone flashlight in order to see. According to Melissa, Carly immediately jumped into the car, and she was pale and wide-eyed, expressing that she was afraid for her life. She was disoriented and couldn't keep her thoughts straight, even switching seats in the car multiple times on the 20-minute drive back home. Melissa also stated that Carly was panicked in the car, expressing fear that the car they were riding in was trying to kill her. During the car ride, Carly also admitted to her stepmother that she had smoked cannabis with her friends. They arrived home around 9 p.m., and by that point, Carly was not any calmer. According to Melissa, she spent the next several hours attempting to comfort the teenage girl and convince her to get some sleep. Carly was in an extremely disoriented state throughout the night. She would have moments of some normalcy and clarity, where she asked her stepmother to paint her nails with her, color, or even read the Bible. But most of that night saw Carly in a state of panic and paranoia. At some point, Melissa decided to take an audio recording of Carly's behavior, stating that she wanted to let Carly listen to it the next day to show her how she had been acting. There are different accounts of how long the audio recording actually is. Most accounts state that it is 8 minutes long, but others state that the audio is actually more than 20 minutes long, and the 8-minute portion is the only part that's been heard by certain people. Mono County police investigating Carly's case have heard this audio, as well as members of Carly's family, but the recording has never been released to the public. So the only thing we have to go on is what other people have stated that they heard in the recording. Carly was apparently incredibly apologetic in this recording, telling her stepmother that she was sorry multiple times and that she had really messed up. Melissa responded by telling her it's okay and that everyone makes mistakes sometimes. Despite Carly's moments of regret, she still had not come down from her paranoia. In another part of the audio, Melissa tried to offer Carly a salad, hoping that getting some food in her stomach would make her feel better and start to calm down. But when Carly starts to take a bite, she spit it out, stating that she couldn't eat it because it's, quote-unquote, the devil's lettuce. When Melissa tried to convince Carly to get in bed and get some sleep, Carly refused, allegedly telling Melissa, quote, I can't go to sleep, you're going to kill me, end quote. Carly also asked Melissa if she would call 911 if something bad happened to her. Melissa said that yes, she would, but also told Carly in that moment that nothing was wrong and that everything was okay. Carly continued to ask her stepmother if she would call for help if she was dying. It was clear that whatever Carly had taken or ingested that night put her mind in a state of fear, convincing her that she was in danger or dying. Eventually, Melissa stopped recording and convinced Carly to get into bed and try to sleep. According to Melissa, she fell asleep in Carly's bed next to her, and when she awoke around 5:45 a.m., Carly was still lying next to her. But Melissa fell back asleep, and when she awoke again around 7:15 a.m. on October 13, 2018, Carly was gone. Something I want to note here is that that story has changed a time or two. On October 22, 2018, NBC News published an article in which Melissa stated that on Saturday, October 13, 2018, she woke up around 5:45 a.m. and started her quote-unquote usual routine of opening all three kids' doors to get them up and ready for the day. When she opened Carly's door the first time, she was still in her bed. But in this statement, she said that she fell back asleep, and a while later she went back and opened Carly's door again, only to find her missing from her bed. The earliest article that I could find in which Melissa's account of that morning changed was an article published by Crime Online on October 25th, 2018, 3 days after the NBC article. That was the earliest instance I found where Melissa stated that she slept in Carly's room with her all night, rather than waking up and walking around opening all of the kids' doors. I'm not sure what this means. I don't know if Melissa was initially told by investigators to give a different statement about that morning, or whether this was incorrect reporting on NBC's part or on Crime Online's part, or if Melissa did in fact completely change her story of her own volition. But I thought it was important to note nonetheless. Carly's father and stepmother searched the house for Carly, but she was nowhere to be found. They also allegedly found the front door of the home slightly ajar. Wherever Carly had gone, she had not taken any of her personal belongings, including her cell phone, meaning that they wouldn't be able to trace her location. According to Zachary and Melissa, they each got into their own cars and drove around searching for Carly for the next 2 hours, but found no signs of her. At 9:35 a.m. on October 13, 2018, Carly's biological mother, Lindsay, received a call from Zachary telling her that Carly was quote-unquote gone. When Zachary explained that Carly had disappeared from the home in the early morning hours of that day, Lindsay told him to call 911 immediately. Lindsay then got into her car and began the drive from her home in Nevada to Chalfont, California. She arrived 9 hours after Carly disappeared. Within a few hours of Carly's disappearance, Mono County Sheriff's deputies arrived at the Goosey home and began their investigation. About 10 hours after Carly disappeared, her stepmother Melissa went live on Facebook, going over what happened and a description of Carly. She went on to do a series of Facebook Live videos in the days following Carly's disappearance. This next clip is from the first Facebook Live video, which was recorded about 10 hours after Carly disappeared.
My name is Melissa Goosey. If you're going to watch this video, please do not have the kids around. Carly Lane Goosey is missing. Still, she's been missing since. Breathe. She's been missing since 6:30 a.m. The last time that I spoke to her was 5:30. She didn't take her cell phone. We're coming up on 10 hours. And now's the part where I'm saying I have to do something because we've had CHP fly over. We've had Inyo and Mono County Sheriff's flying over. PD or CHP flying over. They had their copter day. Thank you to CHP. Love you. And we are going to potentially have the helicopter do the search on our trailer. Jerry has a cell phone all the way around us, all the way down to Lake Laws. And they're amazing. And several of them, county sheriffs, and I see all your faces pop up and it makes me want to cry. I love you guys. And I'm putting this out there because it's going on 10 hours that she's been missing. And I want to put this on blast because I don't think she's out in the desert. I think that she could have been abducted or taken because we do live on the highway and it happens and I'm being real. And I just want to let everybody know. Alicia, you're calling me. Are you watching the video? She's not watching the video. That's okay. I want to put this on blast because I don't know what to do to consider her a missing person. You can't do an Amber Alert because she didn't leave in a car and I don't have a physical description of a vehicle. She is 5'7". Hold on. Let's do this good. Wait, there she is. She's 5'7", about 115 pounds. She has blue eyes and the cutest little nose and a great smile. And her hair goes all the way down. different, but not much. She's still, like, adorably cute. She doesn't wear makeup and everything. She left in her jeans and a t-shirt. So, I'm putting it out there. And just go for it. Everybody help me out here. I love you all. Everybody please watch. Share your friend. Share my friend. Share everybody. Just share the shit out of it. All right?
The next clip is from another Facebook Live video that Melissa did, about 9 days after Carly went missing.
Hey Team Carly, this is Melissa Gousset. Today is day 9 of Carly being missing. I'm on here to share more info. I just spoke to the sergeant and they are at a dead end. And now I can release more information about the events, just lots of questions that I haven't been allowed to talk about because of the investigation. And so I'm here to tell you guys all about it. Friday night, I picked up Carly from town. She was supposed to be at a football game. She had lied to me and told me that she was at the football game. And when she called me, she said she was sorry. I was with friends. I'm sorry. Can you please just come get me? So I drove to town and picked her up. She was by herself. And yeah, when she got in the car, I said, what's going on? Where have you been? I'm yes. with friends. I got high. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Please don't be mad at me. I'm sorry. And I'm like, smoke marijuana? Like, okay. She was very paranoid. She was scared. And she hadn't smoked weed in a month. And being a mother, I wasn't going to take her to the hospital. She's high on marijuana. Why would I? It didn't cross my mind. She was fine. We talked the whole way home. I brought her home. We spent the night. When we got home, she was still paranoid, almost like extremely stoned. And we got home, and then I had her eat. She had a salad. I made her eat a power bar, and she was just very paranoid. And she wanted me to spend the night with her. So her brothers were awake, and Zach was awake, and we hung out, and she ate, and then she was like, can we go to bed? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, well, can you come sleep with me? And I was like, yeah, sure, why not, whatever, I'll lay with you and watch a movie. And we hung out for a little bit in the kitchen, talked a bunch, and then her brothers went to bed, and so then I went to bed with her, and then we got up. I had to go to the bathroom, brush my teeth, wash my face. She was by my side the whole time. She didn't want to leave my side. She was paranoid. And still just not thinking, well, maybe she did smoke something that was bad. Maybe somebody gave her something. I don't know. And so we ended up back in the living room with her brothers for a little bit, watched a movie, and she was just still kind of paranoid. And then we went back to bed, and I spent the whole night with her. I mean, I was awake, and then I doze off, and she's just there. She was just hanging out. She was awake. She wanted to paint my toenails. She wanted to color. She wanted to do a whole lot of stuff. And so I was up, and then I would doze off, and I was up, and I would doze off, and she was there the whole time. And I was really scared to put this out there because so many people are judgmental, and I don't want her story to die. And I was so scared just to say anything. And the investigators are like, you can't talk to anybody about this because the FBI was involved. And if anybody finds out or they get spooked or somebody tips somebody off, then she could be right here and then she could be gone. So this is hard right now because I don't want people to judge her. Kids smoke pot all the time. And so around 5:40, 48 was my last text in the morning. I fell back asleep, and then that's when I woke up and she was gone. And I wish I wouldn't have fallen asleep. But you guys had to know the details, and I was allowed to share them, so I wanted to put them out there because obviously the trolls are roaming, and I'm not a liar, and I don't have anything to hide, and it's okay to tell you guys. You guys all want her home. Who cares what she did? And she's not disoriented anymore. She is. And I said that in the beginning, not even because of the way she was acting, but because if she's been out in the desert for 3 hours, yeah, she's going to be disoriented. She didn't take anything with her. The people that saw her said she only had white t-shirt and gray pants. And that was it. She didn't have a water bottle. I don't know what she's got. And if she's out in the desert, it's hot here. And those of us that live here, you're dehydrated, you're thirsty, you're hungry. What if she fell and hit her head? And that, so I woke up, it was like 7:18, and I said, because I was in her bed, and her door was open all night, so I couldn't have heard that. And I was in her bed, and she was just gone. And I immediately got up, and I looked around the house, and I'm just going, where is she? I just don't know. Where the hell is she? And I go and I tell Zach and I say, Carly's not in her bed. And so just started to panic and got in our cars and just started driving all around. I drove my Corolla out in the boonies over boulders, and Zach took the truck and he took the binoculars. And then, you know, 2 hours was the point where something's wrong. And then for the neighbor to say he saw her at 6:30 in the morning is what he told me. He's older. And then the three confirmed people, two are neighbors that live up here, and the one other person that saw her was a wooder driving by and just saw her standing inside the barbed wire fence. So, and the timeline that they say, I was like, how could I have missed her? You know, she was just right there. It's just something's wrong. Somebody took her. There's just something, and I wanted to put it out there, and I want you guys all to know. And so if you needed to know all that, great. And if you didn't care, great, because I don't care. I just want her. We want her home. And thank you for the continued support, and let's bring Carly home, and thank you all again.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here, right now.
Authorities found three witnesses in the neighborhood who reported seeing Carly in the area in those early hours. One 78-year-old neighbor named Richard lived a few houses down from Carly and her family. He told investigators that between 6:30 and 6:45 a.m. on October 13, 2018, He was in his jacuzzi in a room enclosed in tall glass windows that faced the street. He reported seeing a young girl who looked similar to Carly walking down Ponderosa Street, looking up at the sky, kind of zoning out, and waving around a piece of paper. Richard took notice because he thought it was unusual that a young girl would be walking through the neighborhood alone and with no belongings at that time of day. He also thought it was strange because the girl was only wearing a t-shirt and no jacket, despite the temperature that morning being in the low 40s. The second witness reported seeing who they believed to be Carly around that same time, walking down White Mountain Estates Road. And the third witness reported seeing a teenage girl matching Carly's description near White Mountain Estates Road and Highway 6. Unfortunately, those sightings were not able to be confirmed with 100% certainty, because there were no surveillance cameras in the area that could have tracked Carly's movements. But Mono County authorities have stated that they feel confident that the girl those three witnesses saw that morning was in fact Carly Gousset. When authorities questioned Carly's boyfriend, Donald, and other friends who had attended the small party, Donald stated that after smoking that night, Carly became paranoid and panicked, even expressing that she was afraid Donald was going to hurt her, before she ultimately ended up leaving the party. Donald and the other friends who were there were adamant that the only thing they did was smoke cannabis. But Carly's families have expressed concern and suspicion that it was either laced or that Carly took another drug entirely. According to Lindsay, Carly's mother, Carly had recently asked her about LSD, and Lindsay advised her against trying the drug because it was dangerous. Zachary has also expressed that he believes his daughter was given something stronger, such as a hallucinogen, at that party. Some of Carly's friends informed police that in the weeks leading up to her disappearance, Carly started having what her friends described as episodes, in which Carly would become intensely paranoid, particularly about her phone, insisting that she was being tracked or followed and expressing fear for her safety. But she never told her friends why she believed any of this. Carly's family was not aware of any of this behavior from her. She had never expressed to them a fear for her safety or life, or told them that she thought she was being followed. As far as we know, there is no information from police that corroborated this information about Carly having paranoid episodes prior to her disappearance. But that doesn't mean that it wasn't happening solely because her family hadn't witnessed it. For 2 weeks after Carly disappeared, authorities searched miles of desert surrounding Carly's neighborhood for any trace of her. They brought out scent dogs, searchers on ATVs, and even utilized helicopters. But after days of searching yielded no results, that initial massive search effort was called off. Investigators, with the assistance of the FBI, also attempted a digital investigation of Carly's disappearance, combing through her social media and correspondence with friends. But again, they found nothing that could indicate where she might be or what happened to her. Because Carly had left her phone behind when she presumably left the house of her own volition, investigators could not use data from her phone to trace her last known location. On October 26, 2018, in an article published by Crime Online, Carly's stepmother Melissa stated that the initial description of Carly's clothing she had provided to authorities was incorrect. She had originally told investigators that Carly was wearing a white t-shirt and jeans in the hours leading up to her disappearance, and that she assumed Carly would have been wearing jeans when she left the house because that's what she typically wore. But witnesses who saw Carly walking through the neighborhood in those early morning hours claimed to have seen her wearing a white t-shirt and what appeared to be gray sweatpants. So again, another piece of this puzzle that is not entirely clear. Within days of Carly's disappearance, her profile was added to the database for the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. It's not clear how extensive searches for Carly were in the months immediately following her disappearance, but as far as I've found, investigators have always continued to follow up on credible leads and tips. Months continued to pass, and still, no sign or trace of Carly Gousset was found. In March 2019, 5 months after Carly went missing, her father Zachary, stepmother Melissa, and mother Lindsay all appeared on the Dr. Phil show to discuss her case. But the interviews quickly regressed into a battle of blame and accusations, to the point where Zachary and Melissa refused to be in the same room as Lindsay. It became clear during the interviews that the family had quickly become completely divided in their grief and confusion. Lindsay, in particular, had interesting things to say about Zachary and Melissa. She claimed that during the audio recording Melissa had taken of Carly just hours before she disappeared, Carly was asking Melissa to call 911 and get her help, but that Melissa was refusing. This was something that clearly did not sit well with Lindsay and made her believe there was more to the story than what she had been told. Initially, Zachary and Melissa refused to allow anyone to hear the audio, and even claimed that Dr. Phil's team hadn't even requested to hear the audio prior to the interview. But Dr. Phil insisted that his team did in fact request it, and that the Gousset family had declined. Soon, Zachary and Melissa seemed to have a change of heart, and allowed Dr. Phil to listen to the audio with a pair of headphones during the show. However, they were adamant that the audio not be played for the audience, or anyone else, for that matter. As far as I know, Dr. Phil is the only person, besides the Gousset family and police, who has apparently heard this audio. After listening, Dr. Phil commended Melissa on her demeanor in the audio, stating that she remained very calm and truly sounded like she was just trying to comfort Carly. He also confirmed that Carly did not seem to be asking Melissa to call 911 in that moment, and that she was asking more of a hypothetical question. Would you call 911 if something happened to me? Overall, the Dr. Phil interviews seemed to focus far more on the turmoil within the family than on Carly's actual disappearance, which I was not a fan of. Ratings above all else, I guess. I'm sure the show is at least moderately scripted, so I'm not sure how pure Dr. Phil's intentions ever were. Lindsay was firm in her belief that there was more to the story, and implied more than once that Zachary and Melissa were hiding something. Zachary and Melissa adamantly denied this, insisting that Lindsay's accusations were outlandish and deeply hurtful. At one point, Lindsay even claimed that there was quote-unquote evil in that house, referring to the home Carly lived in and disappeared from. Over the years, the relationship between Lindsay and Zachary and Melissa has not improved. There is still enormous contention between them. There are two different Facebook groups dedicated to Carly that are still active. One is called Bring Carly Home and seemed to be run by Melissa and/or Zachary for a time, but it's unclear who runs the page now. The other Facebook page is called Carly Voice and is run by Carly's mother, Lindsay. The most recent press conference that I was able to find was held by the Mono County Sheriff's Office in October 2019, 1 year after Carly disappeared. In that press conference, they offered no updates in the case, and the Mono County Sheriff, Ingrid Braun, even stated that they were no closer to finding Carly than they were when the investigation started. In the press conference, Carly's mother, Lindsay, gave an incredibly heartfelt and devastating speech, speaking directly to Carly and relishing in some of her most cherished memories with her, pleading for answers and for Carly's safe return. Zachary and Melissa then both gave a speech telling Carly they love her, that her brothers miss her, and that they still hope and pray every day that she will come back home. But in the more than 4 years since Carly disappeared, there have been no updates in the case, and as far as the public knows, no evidence has been found that could lead to her whereabouts. At the time of her disappearance, Carly Gousset was 16 years old, 5 feet 7 inches tall, and weighed approximately 110 pounds. She has blue eyes, and at the time, she had dark blonde hair that went down to her waist. Her left nostril is pierced. Carly was last seen between 5:45 a.m. and 7:30 a.m. on October 13, 2018, in the area of White Mountain Estates Road and Highway 6 in Chalfont, California. She was believed to be wearing a white t-shirt and either jeans or gray sweatpants. She did not take any personal belongings with her when she left her home that morning, including her cell phone. If you have any information regarding the disappearance of Carly Gousset, please call the Mono County Sheriff's Office at 760-932-5678 or email them at carlygoussettips@monosheriff.org. Or you can contact the FBI Sacramento office at 916-746-7000 or submit a tip at tips.fbi.gov. All sources for this episode will be listed in the show notes. If you'd like to request a case for me to cover, you will also find a link to a case request form. I have officially launched the Patreon page, where for $5 a month, you can get access to all episodes ad-free, and coming soon, patrons will have access to a monthly bonus episode. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel, where I've been uploading all of my episodes in video format. If you like the show, please consider leaving a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Reviews are truly the easiest and the best way to support your favorite shows. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at CrimeAgainPod, on Instagram at CrimeAgainPodcast, on Facebook, just search Crime and Crime Again Podcast, and on TikTok at CrimeAgainPodcast. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode of Crime and Crime Again.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.